Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We're BaltimorePositive.com. Please check us out. Make sure you're clicking on me and subscribing. I'm making that up. You can't click on me. Please don't click on me. We are into Pittsburgh Week, Part 3. It is a playoff matchup on home turf on a very wintry night on Saturday night. Luke Jones is here to join us. He's been out at Owings Mills for the sort of truncated practice schedule this week, although they did have the extra day from playing last week as well, earlier on Saturday, both of these squads. So, Zay Flowers, that's the I was out all day on Wednesday. I went to Nacho Mama's in Canton for the final time. Don't make me cry. It was Elvis's birthday. Don't make me cry twice. And people at the bar, much as Chad Steele thinks nobody knows who we are, they recognize me. And they all come up and they all say the same thing. Zay Flowers, Zay Flowers. It must be a playoff week here this week. And I don't know if Zay Flowers is going to play, but 9.5 point favorite, no offense. They don't win. It's not because of Zay Flowers.
I mean, you can point to that as one of many reasons if they weren't to win on Saturday night, but I'm sure there would be much more going wrong, right? And that's kind of been the story of recent years, Raven Steelers, with some of these games that we would even describe as inexplicable losses. But clearly, Zay Flowers' health, a big story this week. We all saw what happened in the Cleveland game early in the second quarter. S still one of those weird things. I've watched the replay numerous times, and from one angle, it doesn't look like anything, but then you see the other angle and you say, oh, like, he kind of, his knee was kind of bent in an awkward direction. This isn't a catastrophic injury. Let's be clear. I don't think the Ravens are hiding something where, this would be a 2-month injury or anything like that,
He's not
but
even hiding from you guys, right? Like you saw him this
right.
week,
We've
right?
seen him in the locker room a little bit. He's walking, albeit with a limp. I think it's important not to read too much into that one way or the other. There can always be some
He's faking
gamesmanship.
it. He's just faking the limp in the locker
I
room
mean,
from
there
you
can
media
always be
guys.
some gamesmanship at work, but there's a legitimate injury here, right? And I think when you're talking about a wide receiver or a running back, and there was plenty of discussion with Chase Brown for the Bengals going into week 18, right? I mean, they were holding out hope. He did a pregame workout, and it was pretty apparent to anyone who saw that he couldn't go. It's one thing for an offensive lineman, a defensive lineman, to put on a brace and depending on what your exact responsibilities are, you might be able to play through that and be able to play through that at a relatively high level. But when you look at Zay Flowers, it's not as simple as, oh, well, he's running straight line sprints and looks fine. And let me be clear, we haven't seen him do that even this week. But the change of direction, I mean, the way that Ravens and fans have nicknamed him the human joystick, right? I mean, the way that Lamar Jackson's called him the joystick, that he can just change directions on a dime. When you've got a bad knee, you can't easily do that, right? I mean, you
I've
might
had
not be
one
able to
since
do that.
2006, so I can tell you.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that can you play through it if you're 95% with that knee or 90% with that knee? Maybe, but even then, how effective are you? So I think, I would expect, and certainly you want to be on the WNST tech service as we get the final injury report, and certainly as we get the 90 minutes prior to kickoff on Saturday night, we'll send out the game day inactives. But I'm guessing they'll list them as questionable either way. I mean, if they list them as doubtful or they list them as out, then we'll know for sure going into Saturday night. But I think based on what we saw Saturday, based on some of the reporting we've seen from the Ian Rappaports of the world, based on some of the language that John Harbaugh has used, which, you try to read the tea leaves a little bit, it really feels like it would be, I don't want to say a miracle if he plays Saturday night, but it would be very unlikely. I heard one reporter categorize it as, it'd kind of be a Hail Mary situation. I mean, that might be the most fitting. I think the big question for Zay Flowers probably is the divisional round. And not just can he play, but how effective can he be? I mean, this is the problem. When you hear the head coach and you hear reporting that says it's not a season-ending injury, agreed from the standpoint that it's not a 2-month thing, but the season could be over Saturday night. The season could be over next week, right? Or the season could be another month, right? We just don't know. So that's where it is tricky because there's just not a lot of season left. And, if you're the Ravens, yeah, you have Rashad Bateman. And I think another X factor that could help replace some of the things that Zay Flowers does on the perimeter. Could be a Justice Hill, albeit in a different role, but Justice Hill's practicing fully. Looks like he's going to be back and ready to go. So that will help from a blitz pickup standpoint. And maybe some of those underneath perimeter type plays that they try to get Zay Flowers the ball in space, maybe that goes to Justice Hill on a couple, albeit different plays because he's a running back compared to a wide receiver, of course. But that is another weapon that you might have with some of that underneath stuff that you're not going to have with Zay Flowers, most likely, that maybe you do look at, Justice Hill a little bit. Maybe is Keaton Mitchell active? Who knows? I mean, we'll have to see. But
Well, the two tight end thing's different because that's more about possession than it is taking the top off or safety falls down and Zay Flowers is gone. And there's a ton. I mean, that's the thing about this team that I don't know that we have ever seen here before is the breakaway ability. We always talk about like Jamal Lewis had breakaway ability, Ray Rice, as you and I remember in New England on a cold night in a first playoff game, breakaway ability. This team has multiple, including the frigging quarterback, which nobody in the history of the sport's ever
I mean, other
had.
Michael Vick, right? I mean, in terms of quarterbacks who can do that, but
Well, he's still the fastest guy. He's faster than Zay Flowers, right? Yeah,
I mean,
probably.
the fact that I'm
We
even
never talk
saying,
about.
right, but the fact that I'm even saying, the fact that I'm even thinking about it
Out there,
speaks to
like.
how fast he is, right? Speaks to how fast both of them are. So, and let's be clear, I mean, Rashad Bateman's fast. I mean, go look. I mean, you don't think of him in the same way because he's a bigger wide receiver. But man, when you look at some of these different analytics sites that track separation grade and different route running, things like that, I mean, Rashad Bateman separates. So
But these
it's
were
not.
abilities the last 5 years they did not have in these games,
Sure.
including a 265-pound running back. By the way, I'm wearing my Derrick Henry. Somebody warned me that I got to wash it. I'll wash it if they win this weekend. I promise you, I'm not going to wear it every day. It was a hit at Nacho Mama's. I must admit, it was a hit at my dentist's office. People love them all, including Amy, whatever the hell her name is, who's screwing up their franchise this week. And Belichick's going to the. We'll get to the league in a minute because I don't know if the games are more interesting or the gamesmanship off the field are more interesting. But from the Ravens' perspective, that kind of speed is what Willie Snead didn't have when Mark Andrews was, I don't want to be disrespectful, their only receiver back in the beginning of the Lamar revolution. I was going to call it the experiment. I'll use John's word for that. But they haven't had this kind of, and throw Justice Hill in there too, that if he has to sort of spell some of those plays in some way, but they do have the ability, especially against Pittsburgh, possession game likely, Andrews moving sticks, the things that they want to do to shorten the game on Saturday night on a cold night and keep the ball, they'll have the ability to do that. I think, I mean, I'm not down on them not winning because they don't have Zay Flowers. You know what I mean? I on the Pittsburgh side, I'm more worried about their kicker getting healthy and their defensive lineman getting like if I'm a Pittsburgh fan, those guys got to play.
And I one thing I'll push back on a little bit. I mean, they did have Hollywood Brown in 2019 and 20. I mean, that guy
He
could
was
run,
drafted to do
right?
that.
But
Yes.
your overall point, I agree. I mean, there's more speed, there's more diversification with this offense.
But how about this? If
Certainly.
you took Hollywood out of it, they wouldn't have had much.
Oh,
Now, if
right.
you take Hollywood out, who's Zay Flowers, they've still got lots of toys. Lots of
Sure,
toys.
sure. But he is your number one wide receiver. He's your Pro Bowl wide receiver. So it hurts. I mean, him not being out on the field most likely Saturday night, it certainly hurts. I mean, you don't want to be playing without him, but I mean, that's where you need to look at this thing. And to your point, you do have eight other Pro Bowlers that are still going to be on the field Saturday night. You still have an offense that has been the best in the league, right? I mean, in terms of efficiency, in terms of yards per game, in terms of having the best quarterback in the league in 2024. In terms of having at least the best running back in the AFC, Saquon Barkley might have something to say in the other conference, but Derrick Henry's been that great there. I think, one thing that I asked Harbaugh about even earlier in the week, even when it was pretty apparent that Zay Flowers' status was at best going to be iffy, that keep in mind, unlike last year at this time, they have a healthy Mark Andrews. I mean, Mark Andrews at this point last year was practicing, but was still not back, did not play against Houston in that divisional round game. And while he played against Kansas City, it wasn't really Mark Andrews. And we've seen a Mark Andrews who's, hey, he's caught a touchdown in six straight games to close the regular season. So he's not getting the same volume that he did a few years ago because because of your point, they have so many other weapons now to really branch out and expand this offense, but it doesn't mean he still can't do the things that the Ravens are going to need him to do on third down inside the red zone. So it hurts. I mean, you'd like to have Zay Flowers out there, but I'm with you. I mean, if we're sitting here Sunday night or Monday morning talking about a Ravens defeat, yeah, we're talking about Zay Flowers to some point, but we're probably talking about six other things that went wrong, right? So I still fully expect this team to go out there and play good football. And I think a really interesting factor here, having gone back, and I know I saw some talking heads referring to some of what we saw in Week 16, but you think back to the first meeting between these teams. Derrick Henry, remember, had the early fumble, wasn't really much of a factor. And I think he had 13 carries in the first game, and some people pointed to the volume, the lack of volume of carries, and I'll hear that to an extent. But Pittsburgh bottled him up. He had one run that accounted for about half his yardage in that game.
Cleveland bottled him up 5 days ago, first half, right?
They did,
Yeah.
but here's the difference. Even with that Cleveland game, and I was going to cite that from the second Pittsburgh game from Jump Street. They ran all over them, and they ran between the tackles, which isn't really hadn't really been what the Ravens' MO had been with Derrick Henry. With his greatest success, had been more of the outside, the zone stretch, toss play, things like that, where we'd see him, turn up what looks like it's going to be an 8 yard run into a 30 yard gain. But I think if you look back to that Week 16 game, Ravens used a lot of pre-snap motion, more than normal, with their run game. And if you look at Pittsburgh, you go back and review that, they had all kinds of issues being lined up properly, and the run fits were poor, all of that. Now, part of that, I think, is acknowledging that they had some guys that were missing that week. There's no question about that, but they weren't as banged up on their defensive line. Now, Watt wasn't 100%, but he played. He didn't even have a game status designation for going into that game. They had Highsmith back. They had their edge guys. They had most of their defensive line. I want to say maybe Ogunjobi wasn't playing off the top of my head. I don't have the injury report in front of me. But the point is, some of the pre-snap motion and some of the things the Ravens did with their run game that kind of went a little bit anti-tendency as
Playing
far as what they've
left-handed.
done.
Well, that's what they do in these games
And
always, right?
they just, Pittsburgh had all kinds of issues in that. So I think that had to have been a colossal point of emphasis this week for Pittsburgh to try to figure that out with some of the pre-snap motion. And it's not as though the Ravens never run motion, let me be clear, but they ran it a little bit more with in concert with their ground game, and Pittsburgh had all kinds of issues with that. And that's why Derrick Henry had the big start to that game and had such a big rushing total collectively. So, yeah, that's going to be a big part of what they do. I mean, I don't think that they're just going to run it three times, in a cloud of dust either. They're going to pick their spots, and even if Zay Flowers isn't out there, they're going to be aggressive throwing the ball when it makes sense. But again, that Week 16 game, I mean, the Ravens came out and they ran the ball and they ran it effectively. Todd Monken kind of said, makes it way easier, and you can control the game when you can do that. And then you can throw when you want to, not because you need to. So I think that's a big challenge for Pittsburgh. There's no question about that. But at the same time, we're still talking about the money matchup in this game is still the Ravens offensive line against the Pittsburgh defensive line. Pittsburgh won that first meeting pretty emphatically. Second meeting, Ravens won that battle. But I think that's still going to be a colossal matchup here. You alluded to it. Cam Hayward's been sick this week, missed a couple days of practice. I expect him to be out there. But if he's missing a full week of practice, you do question, is he going to be 100% normal Cam Hayward? But that's a big key. As I've said to you a number of times, and I don't say this to be disparaging, I just say this to more so point out relative weaknesses on this football team. I'm still looking at the guard positions. If there's something, whether we're talking not, I don't feel as strongly about it, but if we're talking this Saturday night or against Kansas City in the title game, if the Ravens make it there and the Chiefs make it there, if there's something that trips up the Ravens in their quest to make it to the Super Bowl, I still think you look at that interior offensive line as being more problematic than other areas on this football team. And look, again, that's a compliment to McCary and Falele that it's held together as well as it has, because we had major concerns about that but it's still, relatively speaking, one of the weaker points of this football team. That, if you're looking at a matchup with Pittsburgh, or you're looking at a matchup with Kansas City in a couple weeks, that's where you look at it and say, that's going to be pretty key, pretty pivotal in terms of their ability to control this game. But that said, the Ravens have edges all over the place, elsewhere, on either side of the ball. I mean, even, 6 weeks ago, we would have been talking about Pittsburgh having the much better defense than the Ravens. I'm not so sure about that now, when you see how the Ravens defense has played since week 11. I mean, they've been number one, number two, number three, in a number of categories since week 11, which, at this point is it's a pretty decent sample size, when you're talking 6 or 7 weeks. So, I think from that standpoint, you and I have spent a lot of time talking about the what ifs, the unthinkable, but knowing the history of this rivalry, still plausible scenario of if the Ravens lay an egg and lose on Saturday night. We've talked about that a lot, but that said, I
What, by the
still.
way, can I finish your thought? But I want to talk about what if they lose just to do it, because at some point they're either going to lose or they're going to win the Super Bowl. But like, I'm wearing this Derrick Henry jersey. I'll finish your thought
Yeah,
on
I
that.
mean, just to finish my thought, because, again, we've had some discussions this week and we've talked about that kind of scenario quite a bit. And we have to, because what's the history of this team in recent playoff runs, right? I mean, it's been coming up short and losing to teams that were underdogs and all that. But I still look at this across the board, even without Zay Flowers, and I just say, on paper, and if you're asking me how this plays out, how it should play out, Ravens should win this football game. There's a reason why they're a 10-point favorite. It's not solely because, since Pittsburgh lost the last couple games, last four games, Ravens won the last four. The entire body of work supports that the Ravens are better and markedly better. But you've got to go out and do that. And you have two teams who know each other extremely well. And that's where there is the cautionary tale of, even if you don't have Zay Flowers, you got to come out, play clean football, no penalties, no mistakes, stay ahead of schedule, run the ball, be in second and short and third and short. Don't do dumb things to put yourself in third and long and types of situations where you must throw the football. Defensively, same thing. You can't put them on, give them penalties that give them short fields and third down conversions and things of that nature. But, again, all things being equal, the Ravens have a pretty distinct edge in most departments in this matchup on Saturday, and that's even without Zay Flowers playing.
Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke out on the interwebs. You can find him there. You can find both of us out at BaltimorePositive.com. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour, presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, is going to get back out on the road at some point when we get the snow off the ground. We figure out what's going on with the Ravens. So I'm not macabre about this, but I did a couple things because I am Nasty Nestor and I like to bitch about things and whatever. One thing I'm a little shocked about is the ticket prices. It's going to probably be the only home playoff game there is. It's not a hot ticket at all for either fan base. It's a $100 ticket right now. Steelers fans don't want to sit in the cold, watch your team get eliminated. Ravens fans, I don't know what to do. I don't. You said something to me even off the air earlier this week. Like, it's not the same. Now you're up in the corner in the little kids press box up there, and I'm watching on TV and I see all the empty holes and I see all the visiting fans when good visiting teams like Pittsburgh that travel everywhere. When tickets are $100, it feels to me like those are going to be Steelers fans buying those tickets in the end. I don't know how much of a home advantage or field or whatever, but I do remember, I go back to when I was a real media member and when I was a real fan and, bought tickets for 26 years, that these kinds of games where my phone would ring off the hook, they would have a home play. They've only played 9 home playoff games in 30 years. I didn't, like, I had to do the math and I'm like, have they played 10 home playoff games yet? Because I'm thinking like the Peyton Manning game in 06 and the Denver game and then the Titans game where Schwartz came in and beat us with Anthony Wright. And then we didn't play much of anything during the Flacco era. We had that one Houston game where they all came in here in red and all ran around City Hall. And we kicked their ass. Flacco handed the ball off too much in that one. But we don't play a lot of home playoff games. And I'm thinking to myself, and I've already had Raskin on this week and the people that spend a lot of money on club seats and people that I know around town. I'm thinking to myself, it's like Bill Parcells, why you lift all them weights? This is why you buy all them tickets and buy all them purple jerseys and buy, like, it's playoff game. I smell that the fan base here just expects them to go roll the ball out and win. And I would say, and that's, you don't need to respond on the fan thing. Where I want to take this is somebody's going to get eliminated on Saturday night, and somebody's probably not going to look good doing it. Tomlin had the this will be five in a row for them, and if they lose this game 35-3, which the Ravens are capable of putting a donut on them. I mean, the Ravens are capable of just beating their ass. I don't think the Steelers are capable of beating the Ravens. As I think the Steelers are capable of winning 23-21, on a field goal at the end on a cold night when the ball's popping around and Lamar fumbles on the 8-yard line. Or, but it was the other way around here. Christmas, and Christmas was 2 weeks ago, and Russell Wilson was sticking it up their ass and coming down. And if he didn't run into our Darius Washington, the whole thing might have smelled different that day all the way around. I don't think they're as mismatched as 10 points. I certainly don't think that the Steelers' pedigree in these kinds of games is to show up, make it dirty, have it be 23-17 in the fourth quarter, one way or the other, and have a pathway to winning the game. As the fourth quarter begins, I would be shocked if the Steelers don't have a pathway to win the football game at whatever time that'll 10 o'clock on Saturday night. The season will be in peril. My prediction isn't that they go out and win 38-3 and it's 24-6 at halftime. That might be, they're good enough to be that. That's why we love the Ravens. That's why everybody on TV thinks they're offense, defense, Hall of Famers, coaching. Harbaugh's a genius, except when he doesn't call a timeout and Cundiff misses a kick. He's a genius, except when he's not. And I don't, to me, if the Ravens blow them out, I know Mike Tomlin got an extension. I talked to Will Graves this week. He's a made guy and like all of that. And I don't know, man. It's hard for the Steelers to dust off if they lose 35-13 on Saturday night. And I tell you what, the Ravens lose by a nose hair in any way, whoever the GOAT is, and I don't mean greatest, I mean GOAT. I mean Tucker misses two kicks. I mean somebody named Derrick Henry or Lamar fumbles or defender falls down, like whatever would happen in this rivalry where everything's a field goal, everything's a safety, everything's a one score. I bet these teams have played for 30 years, 70 times, and the time of the games being one possession game, probably 92% of the time they've ever played as a franchise, they've been within one score of each other because that's the way this franchise, that's the way this is played. Steelers got embarrassed a couple weeks ago. They're embarrassed totally. I don't think they want to wake up Sunday morning embarrassed. I'm expecting the Steelers' best shot on Saturday. Not 9.5 points. If you're giving me a dollar and say, give me the points. I mean, just give me the points because it's 9.5 points and the Ravens could go out there and beat them. Now, what happens if the Ravens lose on Saturday night? Because they've lost these games more than they've ever won them in this era. Really, that's true.
Yeah. And specifically, whether you want to talk postseason, losing to teams that they've been, Tennessee 5 years ago, they were a 10-point favorite over the Titans that night. That's the interesting part about this. I think for either team, to your point, if Pittsburgh loses by 1 point, if they lose in that fashion where the Ravens win a close game, there's disappointment. There's your typical fans at the end of the bar complaining about Tomlin in the same way that
Quarterback
people.
wasn't good enough. It's
Right,
easy,
right, right.
right?
There's
Yeah.
all that, but I think there's right. There's just I think there's a resignation to the point of they're resigned to the fact the Ravens were just better than us this year. However, to your point, if the Ravens were to blow Pittsburgh out, which from a talent level, from a roster comparison level, that absolutely is plausible, right? And even when we point to week 16, I'll remind everyone that was a one score game until Marlon Humphrey has the pick six
Well, that's
early in the
why I keep
fourth
bringing it
quarter.
up. People feel like, oh, we just beat their ass
I
on
mean,
great.
it
Then we
was a
kicked
great
the
fourth
icing field
quarter.
goal at the end after a Hall of Fame quarterback threw a pick six he shouldn't have thrown after he got nailed at the. I mean, the Steelers, that was a close game. That was not a 17-point game. It
I mean,
really wasn't.
it was an emphatic fourth quarter for the Ravens. I mean, no question there. But yeah, so I think if Pittsburgh were to lose a close game, that's kind of all right, fine. If Pittsburgh gets blown out on the heels of having lost your last four, I don't care who your coach is. And I'm not saying that means Mike Tomlin's going to get fired because he's not, but that's a bad look. That's an alarming statement from a standpoint of
I was leading the
just
division
how
December 15th, and I didn't win
yeah
again.
and
Right. And not
and
that you
nobody got
not.
hurt.
This
Yeah.
isn't stumbling. I mean, that's just a full-blown face plant into the ice.
And
I
I
mean, that's
can't
just
fathom a Steelers franchise coming in here on Saturday. That would be
that'd be surprising,
really
right?
shocking if that
And then
and the Ravens are capable of blowing anybody out. That's
no
really the truth.
question. I mean,
Yeah.
we've seen that for years now. I mean, with some of the teams, some of the high-profile teams, they've even blown out. I mean, we'll be talking about if the Ravens win and Buffalo wins on Sunday, we'll be talking about the Ravens going up to Buffalo and Ravens blew them out in week
But
four,
by the
right?
way, while the Ravens are doing all that, they lost 8 of 9 to the Steelers in this run. They've
They
only won
have.
one in a
And
row.
that's why on the flip side, you look at this, and if you allow yourself to even think about the unthinkable, but how unthinkable is it because of recent history in January or recent history against Pittsburgh? If the Ravens were to lose, and I'm in agreement with you, I can't. I mean, I guess anything can happen in a sporting event, really, when you think about it. But I can't fathom any kind of a sequence of reasonable events that would lead to the Steelers blowing out the Ravens, right? I mean, Pittsburgh doesn't blow out anyone, right? I mean, they don't have the offensive firepower. Their defense is good, but it's not Steel Curtain 1970s historically great. So that would have to be some things that I don't even want to utter. You're talking injuries to your best players, things like that,
If the
right?
Ravens lose by a
So,
hair, it's the worst loss of ever.
well, right. And that was the point I was just going to make. If the Ravens lost by one, fluky as it might be, weird kind of thing. Wind takes a really weird wind gust that blows a Justin Tucker field goal wide left that looks like it was straight on. Craziness, right? Ball gets batted up in the air when Lamar's trying to throw it to a wide open wide receiver and it's picked off and returned for a touchdown or something like that. Crazy stuff.
The Shannon Sharp play
But
against Denver in 2000.
I mean, and look, I mean, that's playoff games. I mean, that's the
One
kind
of
of
those
stuff that
plays is going to
happens.
happen in one of these games this
Yeah, at
weekend.
some point if the Ravens are going to the Super Bowl, something like that's going to happen in their favor. I mean, we've seen it. The Mile High Miracle
Yeah,
was one
moment
of
of
those kind
silence
of
for Jacoby
plays.
Jones right here,
Yeah,
right?
exactly. So, but man, that's when if you look at it and you allow yourself to even think about that, and how can you not because of what we just said? I mean, you hope the team's not dwelling on it too much, but fans and media can certainly think about it. I mean, we're not playing in the game, but if you don't win this game, and let's be clear. We've talked a lot about Super Bowl or bust, right? We've talked about it a lot in the context of this team has nothing else to accomplish other than to get to a Super Bowl and win it, right? It's the last thing left on Lamar Jackson's already Hall of Fame legacy, right? It's the last thing left on the legacy of half dozen other really good or great players from this era of Ravens football that, the Mark Andrews and Marlon Humphreys of the roster who've been to Pro Bowls, but hey, you need a ring, right? That's what you're looking to get. So if you go to Buffalo next week and lose, it's disappointing, but you're the number three seed playing on the road against the number two seed, right? If you go to Kansas City in 2 weeks, it's devastating because you're thinking about revenge, and if you lose to the Chiefs, it's so disappointing, but those aren't the kind of games where people are losing their jobs over it, right? But if you lose to Pittsburgh Saturday night, I don't know as an organization how you look at that on the heels of the disappointment of last year being the number one seed and not getting to the Super Bowl. The disappointment of 2019, right? Losing these playoff games where you've been favored in a number of them. And to your point, I mean, this will be their 10th ever home playoff game. They've had that. This will be their fifth in the Lamar Jackson era, however. And
And
you'd
they
be at a
won how
point
many?
one.
Houston last year.
They lost in 18 to the Chargers. They lost in 19 to the Titans. And then
That was a
they
road
beat.
show in 20 during the plague, right?
They beat Houston last year and then they lost to Kansas City. So let me be clear. I'm not saying that the Ravens should fire John Harbaugh if they lose Saturday night. What I am saying, however, is you've got to really look at this in its totality and say, how are we so great in the regular season? How have we been so great in the regular season? And this is not translating to January. And that's where, I would just say at that point to me, there would be a lot on the table there as far as directions you could go because, especially if it's a game where, you really stub your toe and, Pittsburgh plays well, but doesn't,
Like Russell Wilson doesn't have the game of his life or something like, you know what I mean? Like if this is just Pittsburgh plays well and the Ravens play C minus D plus kind of football, right? I
Pittsburgh
mean,
played well for 3 quarters 2 weeks ago, other than Russell Wilson running into our Darius Washington. They were playing the game they needed to play to win that
they
game.
turned the ball over, right? And the Ravens fumbled three times and recovered them, right? The Ravens recovered all three of their fumbles, and two of those were early. Now, the other one was another punt return. That was late in the game, so
By the
throw
way,
that
you're
out.
playing games about how the Ravens get blown out. That's how the Ravens get blown out. The Ravens get blown out.
Oh,
Russell Wilson goes into the end zone, and then there's a turnover. Then it's
right.
14 to nothing. Early or late, 10-0 or something turnover related and defensive breakdown related that would put them behind a little bit early. That's happened this year.
But
That's not
that's not a
that's not
blow.
out of the realm of this profile of this team, quite frankly. This team has a lot of holes for being very talented.
They have holes. I don't know if I'd say they have a lot of holes.
Well, the penalties are a hole,
What you just
right?
let
I mean, that's a hole to me that.
well, that's a deficient. Well, not, when you say hole, I think more in terms of roster. But okay,
But
fine.
they led the league in
They're not
penalties. That's
perfect.
a hole.
Sure. I look, they've got their imperfections. It's the reason why they lost five games. Right? I mean, the only team you can look at in the league right now where you say, oh, wow, that's a team that doesn't have many holes or many flaws. Well, I mean, I guess Kansas City, even though we know they haven't blown anyone out this year, really, and Detroit in the NFC, right? I mean, everyone else you can point to imperfections. But what you just laid out, Nestor, that's not a blowout, though. That's a blowout, relatively speaking, for the Ravens, because the Ravens are never, I mean, when was the last time the Ravens, not counting games where Lamar was hurt, right? Not counting end of 21, end of 22.
Well,
When
the
was the
way the
last
Ravens
time?
have blown other teams out, that in the fourth quarter it's a
Right.
three or four touchdown game. I agree. That
Right. I mean,
it feels
they don't lose like
impossible that
that.
that happened to the Ravens.
They don't
Right.
lose
Yeah.
like that. I mean, the last time they were blown out in a game was probably the first Bengals game back in 2021. I mean, that's a long time ago, right? And you know, they were blown out by multiple scores in that game. Normally, you know, the idea of the Ravens being blown out is kind of, you know, we saw their comeback against the Bengals in that Thursday night game. They were down two touchdowns earlier in that game. You know, that's very out of character. So anyway, you know, I don't want to get too much into the weeds just on that part of the
But
conversation,
falling
but
behind changes the way they play the game too, in
it
regard to
does. I
pass
mean, it
rush.
does for anyone, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the case for anyone. But I can't fathom losing to Pittsburgh on Saturday night and not looking at this thing and saying, where do we go from here? Like, where do we go from here? I mean, of course, you know, I mean, you've got an MVP at quarterback. So if Lamar doesn't play well again, you know, it's not like you're going to get rid of him, right? I mean, it's just like he's got to figure this out in the same way that Peyton Manning had to figure it out, in the same way that John Elway had to figure it out, in the same way that Dan Marino never got a chance to figure it out in the end, or when he did, you know, the Dolphins just got blown out late in his career. What they lost that game to Jacksonville, that playoff game. It wasn't that Marino's last game? They lost like 62 to
50,
seven or something like
it was
that.
like 51 to 9. It was crazy. And there was a lot of that going on in that era in this game where these games were blowouts, like ugly. To your point, like the Ravens went 51 to 7 over Pittsburgh on Saturday night. That Mike Tomlin can't go back to Pittsburgh. You know what I mean? Like, and I think in this game specifically because of this matchup, and I think if you go back to the history of this, we're playing the Steelers back in 08 and in the early, you know, the championship game there, and then the early part of when Elvis Gerback was around and all of that. These are different kinds of games because this is the epic rivalry in the league. It's why it's the Saturday night game this weekend. This doesn't happen often. 4 times in 30 years, this has happened.
First time in Baltimore as well. So, I mean, it's one of those scenarios where if they don't win this game, then I guess I wouldn't be surprised about anything that would happen. I would just leave it at that. I'm not that's not my prediction, but I would be
You
at a
can't lose at
loss.
home to the Steelers, 9.5 point favorite in a playoff game when you're on a 4-game winning streak and you got everybody healthy except Zay Flowers. There are no excuses for them to lose.
I mean,
I'll give you that.
I can understand going to Buffalo and losing, right? The Bills are really good. I mean, the Chiefs are the Chiefs. If you lose in 2 weeks in the AFC title game rematch, if that plays out that way, but you can't lose to Pittsburgh on Saturday night. You just can't. You can't. So
We got other games. Let's
that
keep
said,
finish your thoughts. I'm
I
going to get through
fully
the other
expect
games.
the Ravens to win, and I'll leave it at that.
All right, other games. The Chargers Houston game is interesting. The Chargers favored on the road a couple points, and The scenario that was brought up this week by Clark Judge on the show, and by the way, he and I had a phenomenal Hall of Fame chat about Hall of Fame voting and Suggs and Yanda and Steve Smith and all that. So please go check that out. He covered the Chargers forever out in San Diego, and he's like, Harbaugh wins these playoff, Jim Harbaugh, I'm talking about, wins these playoff games, got a quarterback on the road, they're favored, and they are the team the Chiefs don't want to see. They play the Chiefs really tough, division, all of that. That would make the Chiefs more vulnerable, and this is why Clark Judge loves the Ravens to go to the Super Bowl. He believes the Chargers are going to win and then go give the Chiefs hell, and that there will be a championship game here with the Harbaugh brothers in 2 weeks. So, like, that's a scenario that I hadn't thought about till Clark Judge came. And I'm like, because my scenario was Harbaugh was going to play Harbaugh this weekend if the Steelers just held their water against Cincinnati over the weekend. They didn't. But the notion that this tournament gets a little chalk doesn't win this tournament. We're the Ravens. We chalk won the tournament. They would have won the Super Bowl last year. Then the Sunday games. Broncos and Bills, I can't fathom a scenario where the Broncos are going to come into Buffalo and win. So I'm just assuming, like in my mind, the Ravens are going to Buffalo next week, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what. But we'll all be big Broncos fans on Sunday at lunchtime if the Ravens win on Saturday night, right?
No question. No question. I mean, just to touch on the first game, I mean, the Chargers, go look at how they played down the stretch. I mean, they had what? They had a loss to Tampa Bay that was not indicative of the team that they are. I certainly like them against Houston. I mean, we talked about this in the aftermath of the Christmas game residue, where they looked awful. I mean, they just absolutely looked awful in that game. I was a big CJ Stroud guy, and I still am, I suppose, but he's been disappointing this year, but his offensive line's been bad. Obviously, they lost some talent at the wide receiver position. They've added Diontae Johnson, so we'll see how that works out for them. But I think the Chargers are playing good football. And I think of the three wild card teams, the Chargers are easily the most compelling because they have the best quarterback. I mean, Justin Herbert, he's playing the best football of his career. Now, it might not be the sexiest in terms of the numbers he's putting up, but he's playing good football. And I think an element to his game that wasn't necessarily untapped with previous regimes in LA is he can run. I mean, he's not Lamar, let's be clear. No one is, but he can move around and he can run. And if you leave 10 yards of open green in front of him, he's going to take it. And that's been an extra element for them. I think the thing that hurts the Chargers as it pertains to whether it's going to Kansas City, if assuming they win, and I'm picking the Chargers to win this game, I still think they're short on the skill talent in the skill talent department. I still think they're a legitimate wide receiver away from really being a serious, serious, serious Super Bowl contender. But that said, to Clark Judge's scenario, it's a division game. If they come out and they stay healthy in this game, they go to Kansas City. The Chiefs start slow because we've seen teams coming out of the bye week do that. I mean, even last year, the Ravens were kind of sleepwalking through the first half of that Houston game. So I could see that scenario. So I certainly expect the Chargers to move on, and then we'll see what happens. Chargers Chiefs. I mean, it'll certainly be compelling because this isn't a Chiefs team at 15-2. As great as that sounds, we know that the Chiefs haven't been that dominant in being 15-2 on a week by week basis. You know, you've got the Chiefs are going to play smart. They're going to play close games, and they've got the experience factor, and that's where they have the edge if they're meeting the Chargers in the divisional round. But you know, I certainly expect the Chargers to win. One thing I agree with you for the most part with the Bills Broncos game, but the marquee matchup in that game is that Denver defensive line going up against the Bills offensive line. It's strength against strength. I mean, that Denver defensive line's terrific, and that Bills offensive line was very good and stayed very healthy this year, which is kind of the difference for them compared to some recent years, you know, where Josh Allen was running for his life a little bit more. And that's not that necess I'm not saying that matchup tips it one way or the other. I just think when you have a great front going up against a great offensive line, it makes it compelling. But, you know, Bills are playing at home. They're another team like the Ravens. I mean, you lose that game, you're asking, what is it going to take for us to break through? You know, if you lose in Kansas City, it's frustrating, but it's not unexpected.
But if you
But
can't win home games where you're a 10-point favorite for the
right,
Ravens or the
exactly, same
Bills,
thing. It's
yeah,
like
I mean, you're ex
how's it? What changes? You know, how's this going to change? What gives here? I mean, so yeah, I like Buffalo in that game, but I do think that's an interesting matchup because that Bill or that Broncos team, that's they're playing with some confidence. You know, I understand they beat the Chiefs, not even their JV. It was their junior high team that they played in
But
week
they went in and
18.
played well.
But yeah, they did what they needed to do. I mean, Bo Nix has the factor working for him that sometimes can work with rookie quarterbacks. You see it one way, go one way or the other, right? A rookie quarterback's either completely overwhelmed by the moment, or sometimes you'll have someone who is ignorant to the moment. And what I mean by that is he doesn't really realize that he's not supposed to be there just yet.
Well, Jaden
And
Daniels will have that Sunday night too,
yes,
right?
well, see, the difference there is Jaden Daniels actually has, I mean, he's played so well. One of my favorite players in the league already. I love Jaden Daniels, despite the fact that he plays for Washington. That's where I feel conflicted
Yeah,
because I
just because
just
I bought an Oiler gear, I don't want to see you in burgundy and gold anytime
no,
soon.
no, no, no. But I loved him at LSU. He was my favorite quarterback coming out of this draft. I mean, and he's played exactly as I thought he might be able to, even with a roster that I think is still not great around him by any means. But you know, these rookie quarterbacks. I mean, it's interesting. Bo Nix has no expectations. They're not expected to win. Whereas, you know, the Commanders, and I understand they're going on the road at Tampa, but I feel like there's some juice and some expectation for Jaden Daniels to play well and for them to, you know, it's not like the Buccaneers are, you know, we've seen the Bucs look really good at times, and other times they look not so good. I mean, even their Week 18 game, they started out in that game, they were losing, and you're kind of like, what's going on here? So, you know, but it's, you know, you see these rookie quarterbacks, and I mean, it's fun because you think back to Lamar. As much as that game was a disaster against the Chargers, it's fun to think about a quarterback making his, or Joe Flacco going to Miami in 2008. I mean, it's fun because, you know, when you have a rookie quarterback, you go into the season, you have no expectation whatsoever that you're going to be any good. I mean, there's a reason why you have a rookie playing quarterback. So, you know, I think Bo Nix and the Broncos, yeah, I think they can go to Buffalo and make it competitive, but I fully expect the Bills to handle their business in that game. And that should mean a Ravens Bills divisional matchup that's going to be really, really attractive, not just locally, but across the league.
All right, Luke and I'll be here after the game. I hope they get the LA, what's going on in LA. You know how much I love Los Angeles. Seeing it burn down like this has just been devastating over the weekend. So thoughts and prayers and strength out to everybody in LA before that Rams Vikings game on Monday night. But we got football on Saturday night. We'll be out on X and Facebook. You don't have to worry about fact checking with us because we don't lie. So make sure you check that out, out on Facebook and out on Meta and all that stuff, and find us out at Baltimore Positive. The audio vault is up. The radio station is running. Emails are open. He is Luke at WNST.net. I am Ness at BaltimorePositive.com. I am a very available individual. To Monday, to extending the season and potentially going off to Buffalo. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Playoffs and Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.